My name is Mohammed Zaki. I'm the Deputy Director of the Cambridge Service Alliance at the University of Cambridge.
Mohammed, thank you very much indeed for talking to the Cambridge Service Alliance podcast series today about your new research, The Fallacy of the Net Promoter Score Customer Loyalty Predictive Model. It's a co-authored paper. What is the Net Promoter Score and why is it important to business?
Net Promoter Score is one of the well-known measurements for customer satisfaction. It was quite famous with firms to use as a measurement because it's quite simple to be reported to top management. It's basically classify customers based on their attitudinal evaluations of the service into promoters, detractors, and passive customers based on a scale from 1 to 10.
And can you have a loyalty metric that's single-faceted in this way? Is it accurate?
According to different research, it's not accurate and it's not correlated with the firm performance. And it's been confirmed with a lot of research that's been done by marketing and services scholar. But also our research was part of this confirmation. But we develop as well a new methods to help firm use some of the big data techniques to enable them to analyze the data better and understand the loyalty of their customer better.
And how long has the Net Promoter Score been used and who's been using it?
A lot of big firms and small firms is quite well known at the moment. And it's been for, I think, the last 10, 15 years. I think the reason for that was one of the articles that for the consultants who developed that method wrote it in Harvard Business Review, and it's been received well. At that time, it was used as a simple method to measure the customer satisfaction.
And take your mind back to when you began this research. What made you think we need to challenge the Net Promoter Score?
One of the things is this actually comes from different research. So normally we build accumulative research and we try to continue progress in different research. One thing is we try to find a way to link attitudinal data with behavioral data. Part of the previous research in the literature was discussing we need the new ways or a new research calls to find a way how we can get them together and try to come with new insights. So the attitudinal data here could be represented by the overall satisfactions when customers give feedback to firms about their services or their products. Could be the Net Promoter Scores, that what we call the attitudinal. There is another different data set here, which is a behavioral data set, which comes to the sales data, right? You can't say that customers give you high scores in your surveys, but they're not buying much from your company, right? So that was the interesting that came to us, how we can link by using the new big data techniques, these type of data together to allow us to understand the behavior of our customer better. And here is the essence of our research, how we can connect them together and build the model to make it automatically.
It's almost like the opinion pollsters. They get it wrong. People say they're going to vote one way, then they don't. So you can have a Net Promoter Score that says you have wonderful customer loyalty, yet the customers aren't coming back and buying your goods.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of disadvantage is happening. So why was one of the biggest questions, why then you're losing your customers? Right, so you're saying that 80%, let's imagine as a scenario, giving us high scores, but actually, if you look to your sales type of margin, is not getting big value, and some customer leaving you from your company goes to your competitors. So it's not really accurate measure. It's a way, it's one of the measurements, but I don't think it's accurate, and according to our research, firms has to look to different ways to analyze this data better, and one of our approaches actually using the data-driven analysis that we built.
And who did you survey over what period?
That was one of our industrial partners, which is Finning, a Caterpillar dealer within our consortium in Cambridge Service Alliance.
How does your framework differ from that traditional Net Promoter Score? Are there any salient points you can pick out to say, this is different and this is why it's different?
Well, it's completely different. So the NPS is relying basically on asking questions about the services, and firms get these scores, which is overall satisfactions, and building a category based on these scores to allow them to categorize customers when they are promoter or detractor. And the question here is actually, could you recommend us to different people? And the scale is now allowing you, if you're recommending us to a different customer or a different people, or you refer us to a different people, that allow the firms to saying this is a loyal customer for us, so you consider them as a promoter. If you're giving a medium score, that's a detractor, that's a passive and a passive customer. So you can work out the scales to allow you who's your loyal customer and promoter for you and who's detractor and passive for you. But then, like I said, that's customers can give high scores as they like, and there is a psychology on that. But when you ask the question, what went wrong or how can we improve the service, you find in the qualitative data, firms or customers specifically saying a lot of pain point that they have with the company. Not all the times it's a pain point or a complaint, but sometimes it's a compliment, sometimes as well suggest for new services. What happening is firms not analyzing the qualitative part and ignoring it, because basically they work out only the numbers, right? But what makes our method is different than this is actually this is data that firms have, but they're not analyzing in appropriate way. What we're proposing here is a new method to link these overall scores with the qualitative data and analyzing that through text mining methods, linking it to the behavioral data, which is the actual sales transaction, and build a model at the end to predict whether customers could be loyal or a churn at the end.
And it's more authentic because it's multiple sources of data that aren't being generated just to score customer loyalty and come back to the organization. So you need text mining. Textual feedback. What is that?
So this is when you ask your customers about where can the company can improve the services and make it better, right? And here you ask about the voice of the customer, right? It's not just a simple score that you give in the overall satisfaction or the net promoter score, or where can you recommend us to a different company or a customer. Here you get an overall evaluation from the customers themselves. And we found it's quite rich text. And normally there is a lot of sentiment analysis firms that are doing sentiment, positive and negative type of category. Our approach are much deeper. So we're going into a sentence level of analysis, and we analyze customers about every touch points he interact with the customer. And here we have to categorize the comments into maybe a complaint in a specific touch point. Here we can think about a pain point, which is the customers think they have a lot of pain here with a firm and a friction. And that's could allow firms to understand what are the root causes for these type of problems and how we can recover it better or improve it. If you think about that improvement, it could come from the customer as well, because some of these customers in these comments say some suggestions, saying here what you could do to improve. And in business to business world, the quite experienced customer is not a public customer or going a normal customer, so they understand what things could be improved. And we think that could be, there is a lot of pattern about customers saying this is a new way to improve these services, you should take it on board and basically try to deploy. But also there is sometimes what things we're doing well. And here is the compliments. So firms can get from the compliments, this is are the things that we're doing well, we should keep consistent doing it well, but also as well try to learn from it to be adapted with other things that we fail to do.
These techniques must give you a deeper and better understanding of why customers are loyal. Can you extract anything from it for our audience?
Yeah. One of the things that the firms has to look at these type of techniques is allow them to monitor their customer experience over time, right? And the customer status over time. And how we can help and communicate better with firms. One of the things that came out, maybe engineers, for example, go fix a machine and they do the job and leave the customers and go. One of the big root causes that came out is actually communication. If you know that your employee is not communicating well with your customer and telling him, for example, when the parts will gonna come, when things will could be fixed over time, you could train your employee how to communicate better and empathize with the customer, because that make customer happy. The text mining and the deeper analytics and the root cause that could come from this type of analysis allow firms to understand what kind of actions they could do to improve the services and also align their employee about their strategy in the future.
So maybe they come back to the organisation because they like one individual and that individual leaves, or they like the fact that someone's been courteous to them. It can be the sort of touchy-feely stuff as well as the price point.
Yeah. The different things, so a lot of questions comes about, all right, price will be a problem, for example, all the time. So customers will going to complain about price anyway, right? If there is a huge complaint about price, I think KFirmis has to think about the value about they provide to their customers. You need to make it clearer that this is a justifiable price based on the value that you're providing. That could be one of the things that comes from this deeper analysis. We don't have to take it that way because maybe other firms could do that better and the company was willing to pay. You can take an example, people are still willing to pay for an iPhone as a price value, when it's quite high, but they can see the value of the experience they have when they interact with that bit, good design or a good phone. I'm not an iPhone fan, but this is just an example to illustrate the situation.
And you talk of a measurement pillar. Why is that relevant? You take these multi-sources of data, you can mine them in a textual way, but why do you need a pillar? Does that give the data a structure?
So everything has to be measured. So if it's not measured, it's not managed. One of the things when you design a process or any customer experience or a service in general, you need to understand, is this is the right design? Is this is the right delivery? One way to do that is through measurement. That's why most of the firm using the NPS as a simple way to ask customer about the evaluation of, about their service delivery or a product design and service design. But what we found, customers now is not interacting in one touch point. They're interacting with us in different channels, through mobile, through websites, and this is explosion of data. And it's quite simple if you're just saying, I just ask them in one of these type of channels through surveys about what's happening, but what about the other channels, right? And this has given us a lot of data to be generated from these different touch points and different channels. We need a mechanism to systematically organize this data and analyze it in a better way to make us understanding our customer better. Our customer giving us some feedback we have through these channels, and we have to capitalize on it. And the big data and the techniques and methods are good and mature enough to allow us to do so.
Then you developed a nuanced approach to predicting customer behavior. What are the implications of your paper for managers and why? Should they be capitalizing on their data? Capturing, measuring, you said if it's not measured, it's not managed. But they should certainly be looking at their data in a different way.
I think marketers are now getting into the habit of looking to different techniques to analyze their data. And this is one of the approaches that we think it worked with some of practical cases to allow them to understand. We can predict whether the customer is going to be loyal or churner, or in other terms, is not active with you. And one of the implications, if you found that this top, let's say, 20 big customers is not active and not buying from you recently or not giving you a feedback or etc., you might need to contact them and see why this happening, right? So imagine you predict this customer looks like his buying behavior is not consistent enough about what you expected. You need to understand what is a problem about that. Is it a better offering for your competitor, or actually it's a problem that he doesn't want to work with us? And either cases, you could dig inside the textual data and you can get some clues why they have a problem about that. One of the insights that came from the research, the misclassification. So the attitudinal data could give you that he's a loyal customer, but if you connect that with the behavioral data, you find actually he's not that loyal, he's not buying from me that much. So this kind of triangulation of the data inside that format can allow you to be sure, is this really a loyal for me, or actually there is a problem? And if you consider him as a loyal and have the problem, what kind of marketing action I should do?
You end by saying, the result of the prediction phase is a model that's capable of correctly predicting 98% of customers that are likely to churn based on the results of the validation data set. Yeah. That's a really high rate of return. So you're claiming a lot of your new model. Yeah. Are you absolutely sure that this novel approach offers practitioners a new way to utilize data more effectively, and as you say in your ending, to provide rich insights and specific actions to improve customer experiences? Three top tips.
Yeah, so I think we did a practical case. So we used the data to drive these insights, and we did a lot of validation, like you just spot on, so to confirm that these analysis and data. So the way we're doing it is through training the model, then we do some testing with a different data set and validation. So a couple of things that we could tips from this research. One, don't rely on a simple metrics. One metrics is not enough. You need to combine different metrics to give you the real view of your customer loyalty. Second thing, data analytics is the right way to combine different data sources together, because there's a lot of value when you're combining different data sources. In that case was the attitudinal and behavioral, but you might need to think about social media, you might need to think about CRM data. So imagine a full portal that has accessibility to all these data sources, and you've got on the back of it predicted model to tell you, this is a real view of my customers. And on that then, what kind of marketing action I should take to recover, to improve, to get more and acquire more customers. The third element here is a dynamic view. So customers are moving from one status to another. The research tried to say the data analyst can allow you to look to the customer in different stages over the time when he's moving from one status to another. And this is really the value, another value as well you can do through the model and the data mining.
That's quite a list, but that 98% yeah. accuracy rate is worth striving for. Do you think that means that we should just ditch the old metrics, or does it still have a use?
It's hard to say to tell practitioner to. Some of the things is aligned. Firms can't avoid that there is a lot of criticism about that measurement, and a lot of rigorous research, including our research, was involving in trying to criticism the value of that metrics. You can't ditch it straight away, but I think over the time and get the practicality right, and the right skills and techniques could go to marketers and insight manager to use data analytics and some of our model and other models as well, that allows them to accurately predict the customer loyalty, will allow these measurements over the times will be ditched.
And it's word of mouth, I suppose, yeah. Old-fashioned recommendation, even for the Cambridge Service Alliance. Mohamed Saki, senior researcher, Cambridge Service Alliance, University of Cambridge, and the new deputy director of the Cambridge Service Alliance. Thanks for talking to the Alliance podcast series today about your new research, The Fallacy of the Net Promoter Score, Customer Loyalty Predictive Model. I've enjoyed it.
Thanks, Bonnie. I enjoyed it as well. And thanks for coming and do the podcast for us.